Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The weather's good. Business is good. I mean, what more could a person ask for?
Well, you know, I always hesitate to say, you know, how you doing, because, you know, sometimes it's like a heat wave, sometimes it's like an ice storm, and you never know these days. So
that's right. Or dirt storm will be next.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, being in the middle of March, it could go either way at this point.
So, that's exactly right.
Wow.
And they talk about March winds. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you got the March winds, and then, you know, golly. And now we're coming up on, St. Patrick's Day is it Monday?
Next Monday.
Yep. And then you got Easter right around the corner, and so we're into all the springtime types of holidays, and it's just, time is just flying.
You know, it is. And year to year, it seems like it'll be 1 year, and we turn around, and the next year's already started.
I know it. And, you know, the Halloween candy, I've already seen, not Halloween, the Easter candy, I've already seen people have it in the stores, and some people are almost out of Easter candy already.
Oh, my gosh.
I know it.
How can that be? I haven't even looked at Easter candy.
Oh, really?
And now that Party City's gone, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What would we do without Party City?
Oh, my gosh. That was like...
I mean, everybody bought all their plates for Easter, their napkins, the candy. Lots of candy. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a bad day, I can tell you.
Well,
I guess the grocery stores will just load up on it.
I guess. I don't know. Well, you would think, but, you know, golly, some of them are already done. And I'm glad. And we went ahead and got our some of our Easter candy early. And I've already eaten like two bags of Easter candy myself. And
we're
not even close. I know it. It's just so colorful and so happy and fun. You just can't help it.
Yeah. And knowing you, I mean, if there's candy out there, you're on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got it first.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're all still talking about it, you're down at the store checking it out. What do they have available?
Oh, yeah. I'm not just a talker. I do. I'm a doer. When it comes to candy, it's not enough to talk about it. I got to go get it and
try it. Are you doing the candy eggs, the big ones?
No, I hadn't found the big ones yet. It's really about the Cadbury's, the Reese's.
Oh, yeah, Cadbury bunnies. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah. But boy,
yes. They
have those, you know how they have the, I think they're like the Hershey ones, and they're the little eggs, the little tiny eggs with the tinfoil around them. The big bags of those that have the multi-variety in them. Oh, yeah. Those are delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but those have gone up. The prices of some of that candy has kind of gone through the roof a little
bit. Oh, yeah. A lot of candy has went up this year.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Shocking.
This might be it for us. So, I don't know. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, you look at the prices and you talk about, you know, people are always talking about prices of things and all that. How do you see things going? Do you hear anything?
Well, you know, eggs went up a lot.
Yeah.
$8 and something for eggs. But now they tell me that eggs are coming back down 30%.
I know it. I saw that and heard that, too. I thought, well, how can that be? But, I mean.
And these tariffs, I have heard of a lot of companies are going to come back to the United States and build their products here.
Really?
And that would really be nice if they do.
Well, that would be
great.
And
I did not know till the president said yesterday that most of our pharmaceuticals are made in Ireland.
Really?
I had no idea. He said that years ago, all these people moved offshore, moved all this to Ireland. And he said, you know, that this is crazy. Let's get this back in the United States.
Well, I had no idea.
I didn't either. I had no idea that a lot of the pharmaceuticals were made in Ireland, of all places.
I thought a lot of them were made here just because of, you know, all the companies and the data and the research and all that stuff. I don't know why I never even thought that they would have been made someplace else. I just thought they were already here. Huh.
Well, years ago when you could buy all your medication in Canada, I did. And, you know, they have socialized medicine there. So the drugs are pretty cheap. And I would order medications, and it would come from England. It would show they were manufactured in England. But the prices were great. I mean, while you could buy stuff for at least half of what your prescriptions would cost here.
Yeah.
And then they put some kind of a rule that they didn't want us buying things out of the country. You know, typical deal. If you found something cheaper, we'll take care of that. We do not want that to happen.
No.
No, we're not supposed to have that.
No.
But the big thing this week is the stock market went down so bad.
Oh.
And, you know, our things did not go down. Life settlements didn't go down. Annuities held steady. So that's the difference between our investments and the stock market. Stock market plunged. I mean, plunged down.
Yeah.
People lost a lot of money.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're on a daily watch, I guess. It's like, you know, people get up, you know, in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning. It's like, okay, where are we starting at today? And it's just, it's one of those weeks where it was just like, just devastating news.
It just pummeled them. It really
has.
Yes.
Yeah.
At one point, the Dow, I think, was down 1,000 points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's some dangerous territories. If you sit and watch the ticker throughout the day, it's like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, I think I saw Warren, I think it was Warren Buffett, who was predicting a pre-2008 recession. I think that's what he's, or no, it might mirror or be worse than 2008. I think that's what he said. And so,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
and you know, he's got more money than anybody that I know.
Yeah.
Or have ever known. And he is really a genius when it comes to the stock market.
I feel like, and I should have probably sourced this, but I feel like sometime in the last week or two, didn't he sell off a whole bunch of something? I don't know if it was a particular thing.
I don't remember what he sold off. Every once in a while he does this. And he had a lot of money in one stock, and I remember he was going to sell that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's like I sit here and I watch, you know, all these, I don't want to call them games because they're very serious and they're very real, but I watch the financial things go up and down, and I watch the ticker and I watch the stocks and I watch people panic and, you know, predicting or trying to predict, you know, what may or may not happen. And then I go to myself and I'm like, gosh, this is just like a tornado of anxiety based on the stock market and things like that. And then I think to myself, you know, anybody that's in something like either an annuity or a life settlement don't have to even worry about this. This is just a sideshow, I guess, for people, you know, in those types of situations. So, you know, thank goodness that...
Because we're always talking about, you know, what the difference is.
Yeah.
The difference is big.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody lost money this week that was in the stock market. Their 401Ks lost money, their IRAs, everything. But if they had had a conservative investment, either in an annuity or a life settlement, it would not have went down. They'd still be right where they were. Their principal would be safe. And their principal was not safe this week in the stock market.
No. You know, like you said, people lost a lot of money. I've seen some people say, you know, when it's down like this, this is the time to buy. But that is, I saw another analysis about that. It's like people will buy when it's down, expecting it to turn around and come back up because that's, you know, normal ebbs and flows. But it may not come back up for a very, very long time. And so they're saying this may not be the best time to you know, start buying. And so I don't know. It seems like, you know, anybody that's in a life settlement, you don't have to worry about any like this. You know, you get into your policy, and no matter what happens, it's never going to be discounted. It's never going to lose its principal. It's never going to be, you know, the value is going to hold no matter what. The resources are there when the policy matures. And so it's just, it's almost like if you're in something like a life settlement, you can sit back and kind of watch this and you don't have the worry that you're going to lose literally everything.
No anxiety. Yeah, you're right. There's no anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, their portfolio is steady. It's stable. It's strong. And you can't say that. We talk about how the difference is between, you know, like life settlements in the stock market. And now we're actually seeing it. All the things that we talk about, it's like it's playing out in real life right in front of our eyes. So it's a different.
Well, you know, it depends how you want to live your life. Do you want to live it on the edge or do you want to get comfortable?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, do you want to just set it and forget it, knowing it's making money, that you can relax, you can go on vacation, you can do something. But if you're hanging on by your toenails, you know, and you're in the stock market, you've got to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how far down it's going to go or how far up it's going to go.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you've lost a lot of money, folks.
Mm-hmm. And recovering from that sometimes can take years. And if what Warren Buffett is saying, and it's true, and there is something that's, you know, at least mirrors, if not worse, than 2008. I mean, I remember us talking about that for years afterwards.
We have never got over that.
No.
Nobody has.
No. And so this might be a time that people are actually, you know, starting to scratch their head and say, you know, this might not be, you know, a short term, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks kind of phase. This may be something that it's time to start reevaluating and look for, you know, different options. And, you know, as people start to look for different things, they may be turning to things like life settlements or, you know, something a little bit more conservative.
Well, and it's diversified. That's what I love.
Yeah.
It's all of your money's not in one stock or one mutual fund. You know, it's diversified into many policies. And then when you do annuities, it's diversified. There's like 14 different items you can invest in. So, you know, again, there's no mutual funds in any of this. There's no stocks. You know, you're not ever buying stock. That's why your investments are always safe. They're secure. And they're just middle of the road. You're not going to lose any money. You're going to just go right on. And that's what everybody likes.
How is, how is real estate doing? Is this something that's kind of like having a ripple effect that's affecting?
You know, I haven't seen real estate go up. I know houses are not selling.
Oh, really?
Because I keep up with that. And there's some that's been on the market for over a year.
Oh.
And one that I know about's been on the market for 2 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And this is raw land. This raw land is close to me. And the guy's got it priced so high, I don't know if it'll ever sell. I'll say that, and it'll sell next week. But his 3 acres, he's asking $650,000.
Really?
At one point, he wanted $1 million for 3 acres.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So nobody at $650,000 has bought his 3 acres.
Wow.
Yeah, he was trying to get $800,000 to $1 million.
Oh, wow. Are home prices coming down, or?
Yes, I've seen. I get a little clicker when real estate goes down. And this week I've had two or three where it said, this house was reduced, this house is reduced. The other one just said, we've listed this house for $1.3 million.
Jeez.
They didn't give any other information on that one.
No comparison data at all.
No, they did not compare that one. But, you know, everybody says that houses are really not selling right now.
Wow.
But interest rates are still up. They're still so high. Can you imagine paying 7% on a house loan?
That's crazy, especially right now. I mean, gosh.
Yeah, I can't imagine what the payments would run.
No. All right. How is like the restaurant and retail and things like that? How are
well,
those?
You know,
doing?
All these new restaurants came online in downtown Dallas. Really, restaurants from people in New York and Los Angeles and movie stars and all this, and three of them have closed.
Really,
Dallas people did not go for all that.
Three of them have already closed.
Right.
Wow. I mean, I'm kind of shocked by that. It's just, you know, and I think where I'm going with all this is that I wonder if this is a consumer confidence thing, and if it is, you know, people who are in things like life settlements don't have to worry about the consumer confidence aspect when it comes to their investments because it's solid and it's protected and it's secure and it's conservative. So, you know, if people are thinking about the other options, you know, yes, life settlements are great. There's all kinds of regulations. Plus, they also have the reserves on hand, you know, at any given time. And that's got to be.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's.
Well, and you're talking about real estate. The other thing is the new houses are selling.
Really?
Now, they're still building out here these huge homes. They're building those. And those are all custom, and they're already sold. But the ones that are not selling is the ones that are 4 or 5 years old or eight that people, you know, need to transfer out or they are moving or something. And those houses are the ones that are not moving. But the ones with the new builders, the custom homes, they're already sold.
Wow. Okay, so those are the ones that were probably bought before all of this and they're being built and probably have been built. I mean, it takes a long time to build a lot of these custom homes.
Well, and they bought the lots, then the builders went to work.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. So those were probably already done. And then anything maybe that's coming up new. What about, like, because I know you talk a lot about, you know, like the, like all the things that are like downtown that are being converted away from real estate or from retail. They're like building condos and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, and a lot of the office buildings, you know, that were about to be foreclosed on, some of them were, and then the others, they turned them into condos. Those office buildings, they turned them into condominiums, which is shocking.
Yeah.
But it worked. I mean, it worked.
I mean, I didn't ever see that coming, but I mean, gosh, are those selling or is there kind of like a pause?
They say
on
they are. I don't know. But the biggest deal this last week was Neiman Marcus downtown. I don't know if you heard about this.
I don't know.
Neiman's has been there right at 100 years. I mean, it's a flagship. They have the Fortnite there. People come from Europe, England. They come from France once a year. And they have a big blowout downtown Neiman Marcus. Everybody that lives in Texas, when they come into town, they go to Neiman Marcus while they're here. I mean, it's a big deal. And Neiman's is, you know, sold to Saks. They got in a dispute with the landlord that owns the land. So they said, we'll just close it. We're closing it. City of Dallas just went berserk. They said, how can you close a landmark like Neiman Marcus? So they came in and got the landlord to give them the land. So they, the city of Dallas now owns the land under Neiman's.
Wow.
So then they said, look, you can stay here forever. Don't leave. Saks is already mad. They said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to take your offer.
Really?
Even though they went and got the land, they said, nope, we're closing.
Really?
So Saks is going to spend $100 million at North Park on the Neiman Marcus.
Wow.
$100 million.
Golly, I'm shocked. I had no idea.
And that building is, I just can't imagine spending $100 million in that shopping center.
How will you ever get that back at this point?
That's what I'm wondering. I think they're out of their mind.
Wow. $100 million. Golly.
I don't even know how much that is in dollars and cents on a building. I mean, per foot. I mean, this is a huge amount of money. I mean, I just can't imagine. It is a two-story structure, but it's not that big. How can you spend $100 million?
I don't know. I mean, what do you... it must be... gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to sit here and think, and I can't even come up with anything. What do you do with
it? Well, now, let's see. We can put marble in the bathroom.
What?
You know, Greek statues. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's true.
I mean, how far can we go to get up to $100 million?
Wow. I wonder if they're, I mean, because when you're not talking about big space, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's got to go somewhere. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is marble in the bathrooms, gold fixtures. Maybe it's.
Oh, I know. We can redo the escalators.
Yeah, that might be it. Wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, somebody's anticipating. I mean, to get that back, I mean, my word. You must be anticipating.
I don't think you'll ever get $100 million back.
Wow.
Because remember, they don't own the building.
Yeah.
It's, I mean.
It's basically a rental property. And so.
It's a rental property. And you're going to give the landlord $100 million to remodel that.
My word.
I wish they'd give that to me.
Yeah. Really? You'll be happy to go in and remodel with
$100 million. I'd be happy to handle that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do some damage with that.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine what we could do?
Oh, wow. Yeah. The sky's the limit. It's
like, I think it would be for the $100 million. You'd have to figure out how much you could pad it every day to get to the $100 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, I'm sitting here right now just trying to daydream and just come up with the most ridiculous things that you could do with $100 million in that space, and I can't even come up with it. I can't even spend it in an imaginary kind of way. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I can't even, you know, $5 million, yes.
Yeah, sure. That'd be doable.
But not $100 million.
My word. I can't even imagine. They must be expecting some kind of insane return on this and something just spectacular as far as design
goes. And
maybe
then again, they're storying.
Well, that might be true. I mean,
it might be just for all of us common folk telling us about that to get us excited.
Yeah, they're just hyping it up a little bit. So
that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's just hype because I don't know what you could do to the inside of a building for $100 million. I swear I don't.
No, especially one with that kind of square footage. It's like, my goodness, it's not like you're remodeling like an entire city. It's just,
that's right, or even the entire mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if they said $100 million for the mall, I would believe them.
Sure, yeah.
But $100 million on that one space?
Yeah, I just can't even imagine. And then you got to think about, you know, I mean, to use the cliche, you know, when you're like remodeling a house in a neighborhood, you know, you got to think, well, geez, are they going to, you know, remodel the rest of the facility? You know, I mean, if you got one store that has a $100 million remodel and then you have everything else around it that's like vacant or empty or, you know, old, it's like, what's going to happen? It's like, is your value ever going to come up, or, you know, are the others going to drag you down, and, you know, what else is going to go around it? And so
it's going to be interesting
to
see if they really start remodeling and spend all this money.
Yeah. Golly.
But I think maybe they misspoke, surely.
Maybe it's a typo.
Maybe it's a typo, but I did see it three times.
Well.
And they kept repeating it.
Oh, wow.
They repeated the words, $100 million.
Oh, so, okay. Well, then we'll consider that no mistake there.
You don't want to buy stock in Saks because if they spend $100 million there, they're not going to have anything left.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness. I'm so shocked that people would spend very much at all in retail space with everything that's going on now and has been going on over the last several years. You know, the trend.
Well, they've got to sell several $3,000 and $5,000 dresses, don't they?
They got to sell a few.
I mean, they're going to have to go up on the price somewhere.
Yeah, really. So as you're looking at, well, you know, everything that's going on now, you kind of take a step back and you look at, you know, everything that's going on, not just the stock market, but, you know, all the retail things, the restaurant things, the economic things, all of it. What would you recommend people do right now to maybe secure themselves, stop the free fall? What would you recommend people do right now?
I would certainly get out of the stock market. That's just me. I mean, people could stay there till the cows come home. But I don't know that it's a good idea. If you're middle-aged, I mean, my gosh, you got to think about how much you're going to have in retirement if things don't go right. So I would certainly, if I could, I would slowly get out of the stock market or get out fast. And I would put it in a conservative investment like a life settlement or an annuity. Annuities, you can take lifetime income. You can do things that you cannot do in the stock market. And you don't have the fees that you're going to have in the stock market. You know, end the fees. And if you're in annuities, you don't pay tax till you take it out. There's so many advantages to annuity that I don't know why everybody doesn't have some annuities. I don't. I just can't figure it out. Because if it's tax deferred, that'll beat anything in town. And then if you don't pay taxes till you take it out, and then it's compound interest, and then you've got all these choices. Why not do that? And if you're young enough, do life settlements. It's diversified many times over.
You know,
and it's one of the safest investments there is.
It's like with you know, like you're talking about all the advantages of annuities. It's almost like if people really want the excitement of the stock market, when it's in a good excitement kind of way, not like in free fall excitement kind of way, but if they want the excitement of, you know, that kind of a thing, you always say that an annuity mirrors the stock market, but it's not in the stock market. So
it's not in the stock market, but it mirrors it. If stocks go up, this will go up. If stocks go down, this just sets still.
Yeah.
It's got that lock-in. It doesn't go down. So you're never going to lose your principal. The principal's safe at all times. That's what I love about annuities.
So,
and I love them because they are tax-deferred.
Yeah.
I love it because you can put any kind of beneficiary you want. You can have your children, your grandchildren, your wife, whatever. And you can have a different annuities for different things. There's just so many advantages to it.
Yeah. I mean, there really is. And you don't have that risk of, oh, my gosh, we're going to lose our principal and we're going to lose everything we have overnight. And we need to watch this not only overnight, but, you know, minute by minute to make sure everything is still there. And it's almost like, you know, if people are looking at the stock market now saying, oh, gosh, it's really down. And at some point it's going to come back up. I want to be in the come back up section. And they wanted to do something like this without the risk. I would imagine, you know, kind of like you were saying, this might be a great time to get into annuities because you're not going to have to worry about it going down. But if it does bounce back up, which it could do at any time, I suppose, you know, you would get that advantage. And then you've got bonuses. The bonuses are still...
The bonuses make everything wonderful. That 14% bonus is fabulous. And every year that you put money in for 3 years, you get that bonus. And you get the bonus up front. It's added to your policy. Then whatever it makes this year, that's just wonderful. So you're really double dipping on that first year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like even if the annuity doesn't make anything itself, you still get the bonuses. And so I would imagine any time to make money just for for nothing, really, essentially, especially now. Is probably a big win for anybody in any situation. So,
and there's just so many ways to do an annuity. You have an IRA, you can move a 401k over there. You can have a Roth, or you can have a joint account with your wife. There's so many ways to do it, and you'll always be safe, and it won't be going down. It might sit still, but it won't go down.
Yeah, and right now I think a lot of people are looking at, oh my gosh, our stuff has gone down. We need to stop this. So if somebody was to come over and say, okay, Faye, I'm tired of the stock market. You know, this is clearly something that we may be having to deal with for quite some time. How does it work? What if somebody was to get into an annuity? What would happen?
Well, we would first of all see what amount we need to put in the annuity. How soon will they need it? You know, there's a lot of factors. Is it going to be an IRA? Is it going to be a Roth IRA? Or is it going to be a joint account? And it depends. If they don't have an IRA or don't want to do an IRA, they should do one with their wife. If they're a business owner, that's a different story. So there's just so many things to consider.
Okay. So annuities are great for... I know sometimes you'll say, what, people in their 60s or 70s?
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, if you're older, it's going to be a good thing to have annuities.
Okay.
If you're 40 years old and older, you know, you can do life settlements. But if you're, you know, 70 years old, you should be doing annuities.
Okay. So like you say, for somebody who may be in their 40s, life settlements might be the way to go. For somebody who's never done a life settlement before, they don't understand it. Explain just a little bit about kind of like what is a life settlement? What is it?
Okay, a life settlement is a life insurance policy that we're bidding on. And we bid this life insurance policy. They have to have stage 4 cancer. So all the ones we try to do are cancer. So if we win this policy, then we send out a note to our investors and say, look, we've purchased this policy. This is how much we'd like for you to put in. We'd like for you to put $40,000 or $70,000 or whatever. Then we tell them what they're going to make on it. It may be 26%. It might be 35%, whatever it is. So we tell them what the profit is. Then we tell them, you know what, if it goes over, what it'll cost them, if they have to pay premium. If it goes over the time limit, you could have to pay premium. But they're small. We've gotten that down a lot.
Okay.
So there's just so many advantages to this. It's with major life insurance companies. They're worth billions. So you don't have to worry about that. So a life settlement is just a really safe investment.
Yeah, and policies are never discounted based on any kind of anything that's going on anywhere, whether it's the stock market or, you know, some global event or anything like that. When a policy matures, it pays out its full value. It's never, ever been discounted.
They're not going to say, oh, we'll just give you 50 cents of the dollar.
Yeah.
Life insurance companies do not do that. It's a life insurance policy on this person's life, and they're going to pay off.
And the reserves are on hand, so people don't have to worry about, oh, gosh, you know, this policy matured, but the money is actually tied up in this loan over here. And, you know, none of that is the case. They've got the reserves actually on hand. So if people, you know.
And if you've got cash sitting there in between policies, you're getting interest on it every day. Well, they're paying about 4% interest on those accounts.
Mm.
So, you know, how many banks will pay you good interest on your account when it's not in a CD or a money market?
Yeah, that's great.
When it's just in the bank, how much do they pay? All of our people are getting interest on their accounts, no matter if they're investing or just sitting still.
Yeah, that's another bonus. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just when you go through either annuities or life settlements, I just hear, you know, profit and revenue stream over revenue stream and just money, people making money over, you know, they're making money in all kinds of different ways. And I know that we've been through, you know, several different economic phases, maybe over the last several years. And we've been doing this for a long time. And you've seen, you know, you were doing this when 2008 hit. You were doing this, you know, when wars have broken out overseas. And you've been through, you know, all these different, you know, economic upturns and downturns and all these different scenarios. And every single time, whether it's a life settlement or an annuity, these investments have held. And that's not just a theory. It's you've actually been through these types of situations. And every single time, people have been thriving in these when they haven't in other types of situations.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we've paid out $200 million over the years.
Jeez. Wow, that's a lot of profit. A lot of money.
That's a lot of profit.
My
and we
goodness.
Owe them a lot more profit now. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Wow. So to get, I guess maybe to get started or to get involved or, you know, anything like that with you know, either one, a life settlement or an annuity, it's one of those things where it's not something where, you know, people have to, you know, necessarily wait until the right time in their life. They can start at any time in any situation, no matter what's going on. So I guess.
And they must be accredited to do a life settlement.
Yes.
So to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. So it is for accredited investors.
Okay. And that's for a life settlement. Nothing.
That's for a life settlement. Now, annuities are different. They might want to make sure you have money to pay your bills. You have to have emergency money in the bank, but it's not near as hard to get in.
Okay. And so either one, I mean, it's a conservative investment. And I guess when people are looking at different things and starting to really think to themselves, gosh, you know, it's just like, I don't know how soon this storm is going to end. It will at some point, but it might be a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe a couple of years. Nobody really knows. And so if people are in this place where, you know, gosh, we need to really start looking for something a little bit more conservative to protect our principal, either one would be a great option, I would say. Yes?
I think either one is as conservative as you can get. Both of them, your principal's always safe. And when you make interest, that's another thing. It's locked in. When you have an annuity, at the end of the year, whatever your interest is, it locks in. It's there forever. They can't take that back away from you like in the stock market. So that's another big advantage. When you've got interest coming, it locks in. It adds up each year.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I guess the takeaway is that no matter what people are whatever situation people are in, most people are in some kind of maybe a panic mode, maybe, oh my gosh, I see the writing on the wall kind of, you know, maybe they're in that kind of a place. Maybe they're just looking at their portfolio now saying, oh my gosh, we've lost, you know, too much money already. We need to, you know, do something to reach out and get a life raft to put our money in something that won't lose its principal. Either one is the way to go. So. And that's the whole
thing. And what I would say is, how much can I afford to lose?
Yeah.
If you can afford to lose it all, that's where you are. If you say, you know, we cannot afford this, we're going to be retiring in 5 years, then you need to get it over to safety.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people are looking at things right now. I mean, they're examining things. I know we've talked about these types of situations. I know we've talked about, you know, all the predictions that people have made, and they've said, oh, this is going to happen, and this is going to go down, this is going to be unstable, this is going to be, you know, total turmoil for the foreseeable future. But we're there. And so it's especially with what we saw this week in the stock market, we are there. And so this might be the time where, you know, people start actually like doing something and taking some action and saying, you know, it's right. It's not just talk anymore. It's actually like it's time. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I'm thinking about St. Patrick's Day.
Of course.
You know, it is Monday. you know, everybody loves St. Patrick's Day. We love it because we love parades. We love floats. We love green beer. We love when the river in Chicago is got green all over it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody does all this. The shamrocks, everybody loves the shamrocks. They love the wearing of the green. And everybody swears they're Irish.
I love it. Everybody talks with an Irish accent at some point on St. Patrick's Day.
They do. And they love the green hats, you know. I was considering putting bow ties on the llamas.
Oh.
I thought that would really be neat. Now, I don't know if I could get them to do it. I'm thinking about it, though.
Boy, that would be neat. That would be
Wouldn't
great.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah, it would.
17 llamas all looking alike. People would wreck their cars out in front of my gate.
That would be a sight to see. How fun.
I think it'd be hilarious. But we've got to see if we can talk the llamas into it first.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they'll go for it, but if they do, that would be cute. Oh, wow.
It would be so adorable. Now, you remember how we got to St. Patrick's Day. You remember that St. Patrick's, he went to Ireland and got them to become Christians because these were really, really bad people in Ireland. And so it is a Christian feast, St. Patrick's Day. It marks the 17th century when he went to Ireland and became a missionary to Ireland because they were so bad there. And so Christianity came to Ireland because of St. Patrick. And all these other churches, now most of our churches here do not celebrate it as a Christian holiday, but the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Lutherans all celebrate this as a religious holiday. And, you know, it was 1903 before Ireland started celebrating St. Patrick's.
Really?
And what he had done for them. And, of course, they also said he drove the snakes out of Ireland, but there was no snakes in Ireland. So that's the only myth about this. The rest of it is absolutely true. And if you remember, when he was a young boy, he was captured, and they took him to Ireland. And when he escaped, then he came back as a missionary, spent the rest of his life in Ireland converting these people to Christianity.
Wow.
And, of course, his father was a deacon. His grandfather was a priest in a Christian church. So he came from, a religious background. And then he decided, you know, to go back there and see what he could do about Christianity because they were pagans.
Hmm. See, the only part I remembered was something about the snakes, and it turns out that's not even a true part.
So, no, that is not true.
Wow.
But he died on March 17th, that's why. But he was a 5th century missionary, and everybody knows that that he's the first missionary to Ireland. He's the first person that went over there and said, look, you know, let me see if I can convert these. They said he converted thousands of people to Christianity. They were not a nice people over there.
Hmm. I guess I don't know if I've heard this part before, or maybe I've just forgotten about it. I'm kind of ashamed that I don't remember that it actually has deep meaning behind it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So.
And all these other churches, as I said, is a very religious holiday to them because of Ireland.
Hmm.
But he was a young boy of 16 when they took him as a slave. And he spent 6 years there, and he worked as a shepherd. And that was where he found God, is out being a shepherd.
Interesting.
And God was the one that told Patrick to flee to the coast. There's going to be a ship waiting to take him home. And then when he got home, of course, he did become a priest.
Wow.
And a missionary. And he went back to Ireland, spent the rest of his life converting them to Christianity from the pagans that they were.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I don't know until just now that I've ever looked at or thought of St. Patrick's Day as being a quote-unquote religious holiday. I've always, you know, maybe I've gotten lost in, you know, all the green and the green beer and the
that's what happened.
Accents.
You got lost in all the in America, we don't celebrate it like they do over there. It is a very religious holiday in Ireland and all these other places. But here, you know, everything we've done comes from Europe. You'd realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, Thanksgiving, I mean, everything we've done comes from another country because we're only 250 years old.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, I mean, it's just, it kind of makes me pause here for a second and think, wow, all these years, I just thought it was a big excuse to party and have green stuff. And I didn't, you know, to know that it actually had this kind of a religious significance behind it. I've never thought of it like this before. This is eye-opening to me. Huh.
And the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Ireland was in Waterford, Ireland in 1903.
Really?
So they didn't celebrate it till 1903, even though, you know, way, way back there, he had come there and did all this for them. And really, I think, saved Ireland. No telling what it would have turned out to be if he had not been there and, it got them to become Christians and all these pagans.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize that Ireland wasn't, you know, such a great, how do I say this nicely, such a great, honorable place to be before
it
all
was
this.
Not.
Huh. I didn't realize that
way,
either.
Way back, the 5th century, you know, if he hadn't come, I don't know what would have happened to Ireland.
Oh.
It would have turned out a lot different than it did.
Yeah.
But all the different countries celebrate St. Patrick's. It's different, but Germany celebrates it. England celebrates it. All these different places celebrate it.
I wonder,
because of him.
I wonder if, like, over in, like, all of Europe, not just Ireland, but, you know, like, England and, you know, all these other places over there, I wonder if they all look at it, you know, like it's just a religious holiday as well, much more than we do. I wonder if we're looking at it completely different from our perspective.
Well, Argentina is one of the places that celebrates it. And they say they have 50,000 people in the street in Argentina when they do. But they said the Catholic Church there does not take part in it. And, of course, Canada has always celebrated it.
I know I've heard, you know, I guess the story before about St. Patrick's and he brought Christianity to Ireland and saved the people, but it never really meant anything, or it didn't really sink in, I think, until right now, probably because, you know, it was overshadowed by, oh, it's, you know, St. Patrick's, everything, we're going to color everything green and all the green food and the green beer and the green water and the green, you know, wear green and talk with fake accents. It almost has more of, in my brain, when I think about St. Patrick's Day, it has more of like a New Year's Eve kind of a feeling than maybe like an Easter type of feeling.
Did you know that in America, we started celebrating St. Patrick's Day in 1600?
What? Really?
Yes, in America, 1600. The first parade was in 1601.
Wait a minute. So we started celebrating it in 1600.
Before them.
I was like, wait a minute. This is like 300 years difference. What? Really?
That's right.
Wow. And
apparently we knew about it, but we took it differently than they did.
Interesting. Boy, I didn't know that. That's kind of strange.
It is strange.
We've celebrated it long before they did.
Yeah, and I don't know why. But it was 1903 before they had the parades and all this and started celebrating it.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah. And I would imagine probably when we started celebrating in the 1601? Oh, over here?
On 1601, we had our first parade.
It sounds like probably from the get-go over here, from the very first parade, it was a gigantic celebration and a big party, really from jump over here. Not maybe.
Yeah, and Christians in Great Britain call it the Feast Day, and the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church also celebrate it as a religious holiday.
I did not know that. I don't know why. I just thought it was this gigantic, you know, party all over the place.
And in London, Trafalgar Square fountains, they dye them green.
Really?
Yeah. So most countries celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It's just that these certain churches, you know, observe it as a religious holiday because, you know, he was a missionary and he, you know, was a saint, but the other countries don't. The other countries celebrate like we do as a fun holiday with the shamrocks and the green and, you know, dyeing everything green. But we started in 1600, and then 1601 had the first parade in America.
I had no idea we celebrated St. Patrick's Day, you know, 300 years before they did.
Yeah, it didn't become official in Ireland till 1903.
My goodness. This is just eye-opening to me. I it's going to give
me
a
whole... That was in Waterford, Ireland.
Wow. I'm just...
And that was hundreds of years after the first parade in America.
Yeah. I mean, golly. I mean, we're not talking about just a couple of weeks or a couple of months or even a couple of years. We're talking about centuries later.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. It's just like, you know, okay, well, you know, it's kind of like their thing. It's their country. You would think they would be on it and we would kind of follow suit. But
and they were so slow in recognizing it. Till 1903, and yet fifth century, and everybody recognized him as, you know, a father of Christianity in Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize that he had such a quite a profound effect. I mean, it changed literally everything about Ireland.
He did. He changed everything.
Wow. I didn't, and just to see how much that maybe over time we've kind of maybe downplayed the role,
the significance of what it really is.
Yes. Wow. I have to say I'm slightly speechless, and I didn't know. It gives me a whole nother appreciation for the day.
In the 1640s is when the green was associated with Ireland.
Wow.
And it was the Irish Catholic Confederation, and it was a green harp flag.
Wow. I didn't know there was slavery involved. I didn't know there was all the things that were involved with this. I thought, you know, if you were to ask me like 20 minutes ago, you know, what is St. Patrick's Day about? I would have said something about, oh, St. Patrick's came and he drove out the snakes and we all celebrate and toast him with green beer. That would have been my impression. And so I'm like literally, you've literally just turned like the whole thing on its head and really given me a whole new appreciation for the day as a whole and what it means. Wow.
Because it does. It means a lot because of what he did do. And he did go back there. And a lot of people wouldn't went back if they'd been captured in a slave in a country like that.
Yeah.
But he was determined to go back as a missionary and tell them about God. And so he brought Christianity to thousands and thousands in Ireland.
Wow.
If he hadn't, Ireland would have really been a bad place.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even, it almost sounds like it would be like almost maybe like the opposite of what it is now. I mean, the effect that he had is just so profound and so widespread. And so, I mean, it literally changed everything. About the country, and so.
And how many people would have went back? I mean, lot of us would have been scared to death, knowing that they capture people there and hold them as slaves.
Yeah.
And yet, as a grown person, he went back, and all these people, thousands of them, became Christians because of St. Patrick. And I don't know. Where the green part came from, other than in Ireland, you know, it was this flag, this green flag. And they even had postcards on St. Patrick's Day in 1907.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Is it the Emerald Isle? Is that what its nickname
is?
That's, because of all the green?
Huh.
Interesting. Well, boy, well, now that gives me a whole nother. It changes the whole day for me on Monday. So, this has been quite fascinating, actually, and I'm still shocked that we celebrated 300 years before they did. So, I don't know.
And we don't know why.
Yeah.
In the Sydney Opera House in Auckland, New Zealand, the tower they do going green for St. Patrick's Day. And they light up everything in green on St. Patrick's Day. So all these countries, there's 50 countries across the globe that celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Wow. I'm shocked. This is eye-opening to me. I'm shocked and a little bit ashamed that I didn't know the real significance behind it and that I had downplayed it so much for just like a green food day and party day and, boy, this
and
is.
And didn't realize the significance of St. Patrick.
I did not
realize
that.
He was a real live human being missionary.
Wow. Who did fantastic work and spread all kinds of.
He did fantastic work.
Yeah.
Some that not many people would have attempted back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Fifth century.
Can you imagine the repercussions of opening your mouth in that kind of a situation?
Yeah, because I'm surprised they didn't kill him or something bad happened to him.
Yeah,
but it didn't.
I mean, it was quite a bit more barbaric than what we're used to and what we experience. And so, just to say something alone, wow!
Way back then, there was nobody to protect him.
Yeah,
he was on his own, really.
Yeah, a one man person, and to go ahead and stand up and you know do the things that he did. Wow, it's just the more I think about it, the more I guess, in awe than I am of what he was actually able to accomplish as, a one-man army, so to speak.
A one-man army.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, so back to our kind of green, money.
Our kind of green, that's right.
with a life settlement, people do need to know that there are two risks that they should be aware of going in. What's the first one?
The first one is if it goes over, you have to pay premium. So we need to tell you going in what the premiums are, how much it'll be. And so all of that is up front. We tell you what you're going to make, what your expense would be if it goes over, what the face amount is, what kind of cancer it is. All of that is the first thing we tell you. The second thing is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures.
Okay. And you already covered accreditation for it. So considering, you know, that people do need to be accredited, the risks really aren't that big of a deal. You did say something, though, that I want to make sure we point out is, you know, people know, you know, exactly what the investment is, you know, when it is expected to mature. They know, you know, what they would have to pay if it goes over, all the different parameters. It's a well-informed investment. And I can't think of any other opportunity where you have this much information on the front end going in where it's all laid out there and you know exactly what it is. So I would imagine that's another spectacular benefit that people love about the investment itself. There's not a whole lot of variables and what ifs and maybes and, you know, if this, then that kind of thing. It's all pretty much laid out in writing. So another benefit. For annuities, is there any kind of risk? Is there any kind of thing?
Not really, because it's just really a solid investment, really. Your principal's always safe. Your interest is locked in once a year. I don't know how it can get any better than that.
Yeah. I mean, you're locked in, so if the stock market goes up, your annuity goes up. If the stock market goes down, your annuity has that stopgap, so you won't lose your principal and have to worry about losing everything. Plus, those bonuses mean you make more money, and so it's just really kind of a win-win, no matter what the market situation is. So, all right, how long does it take to get, say, set up for like an annuity or something like that?
Was it okay? It's really just about a week.
Oh, cool.
And it depends if we're transferring money in, if you're writing a check, you know, it depends all those things because they've got this new deal where they can issue in about a day.
Wow.
Some kind of new streamlined process. It's always taken a couple of weeks. It's not taking that now.
Wow. That's fantastic. Big improvement.
It is fantastic. We can get it in and out, get you earning money quicker.
Cool. Okay. So if people want more information or if they just want to go ahead and get started, they're tired of the losses of the stock market and they're looking for something conservative, either way, annuities or life settlements, they do need to call, make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.